You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, baseball family. So we wanted to play a little game, do a little exercise today. Wait a minute.
Nobody wants to do any exercise. Okay, let's be clear.
Tell me about it.
Just kidding.
But anyway, so what this is if space aliens were to come down and to greet us and say, hey, I want you to tell me about baseball. And our job is to each show them five games to tell them to, I guess, show them what baseball is. So we each have five games that would, explain the game in some way. And I got to be honest with you, we just had this on the schedule for this week. But as it turns out, we've been informed that, the Pentagon is...
The Pentagon.
Is releasing some information about UFOs later this month.
Yep.
So... it kind of worked out. We thought we'd run with it. Hence the name of the episode, Aliens in the Outfield. So
yep.
Here we go. Brig, go ahead and lead us off with your first game to show these friends from another planet.
Okay. I am choosing a game from 1947. I don't think it's any surprise. It's April 15th, 1947. Jackie breaks color barrier
Day.
I feel like that's critical. You cannot tell the story of baseball without this.
That's true.
Not that that's how I chose all of my games. That's how I chose this one. Now, the things people don't know are the box score. And I'm not going to get into the whole box score, but I think it's really interesting to note that in his rookie debut, not only did he field, or did he play the field, but... in his first big league game, he recorded the first putout of the whole game.
Oh, wow.
He went up to the plate three times. In the seventh, he laid an absolutely perfect bunt up the first base path. For his first hit in MLB history, it was a bunt. Okay? Not only was he moving and shaking. Yeah, for those of you who pay attention, that was punctuated. Not only was he moving, cooking with gas heat, he actually scared the first baseman, also a rookie on the other team, because he was moving so fast. So the dude, he rushes the throw. Guess what? It hits Jackie in the back. The ball caroms off of Jackie Robinson's back out of the field of play, and now there's nobody there, so it has to be dealt with. And guess what? He moves into second base.
For free.
He turned a bunt down the first baseline into extra bases in his major league debut. I mean, come on. So not only is it an incredible performance on its own, even if it's just that one play, notwithstanding all the tremendous defense he played the whole day, but he broke the color barrier as well. So I think we often get all hot and bothered about the color barrier thing. Rightly so. However, he was a terrific ball player. Let's just call it what it is. I don't think you can go without that game.
Well, I did. I'll be honest with you.
You can, but I don't think you can.
I'm not going to poo-poo it, though, because that's an excellent choice.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest with you. All of mine are fairly recent. These are all games that I have watched personally in my life. Jeez. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, so within the last 35 years, these games happened. But anyway, so I'm gonna start first with a slugfest because I want these aliens from another planet to see what a high scoring baseball game looks like. Okay, I will be honest with you, I don't normally have like a format or a system when I choose things like this, but this time I wanted to have a purposeful progression of how I went through these games. So I'm starting with a slugfest. Okay, this is the 2017 World Series Game 5, the Dodgers at the Astros.
Oh yeah,
I still remember watching this game. I was doing my old blog, my Stitched Thrones blog. Brig, you remember that?
Oh, and, please. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
And I was supposed to be doing a blog that night, but I was watching that game, and it was just, it went on for like 6 hours, it felt like.
Yeah, it was,
and I was like, well, I'm not getting anything done tonight because this game is outstanding. It was a ton of fun to watch. Final score was 13-12 in 10 innings. The Astros ended up winning with a walk-off single in a game that saw 7 home runs, 28 hits, and I want to say like 5 lead changes. It was outstanding. It was an amazing game. It was a ton of fun to watch. And I think introducing another group of people to baseball would be, like with a game where there was a ton of action throughout the entire thing, would be a good way to grab hold of their attention. So,
jeez.
Yeah. Game 5, 2017 World Series. 25 runs, score 28 hits. I think that, I mean, that was an awesome game to watch. A ton of fun.
That's a great choice. I remember watching that. I had just moved to South Carolina that year.
You did. That's right.
Yeah, we were sitting in our makeshift apartment. Yeah, and we were like, I don't know. What do you want to decorate with? Wood floors. That sounds awesome. You know? Well, funny enough, they're already here. Isn't that nice? So we ended up watching the... Anyway, that's awesome. That's a great... That was a killer game. Okay, so my next one comes in October 13th, 2001. And for me, this is one of the best defensive performances. And really a terrific defensive game if you count pitching and everything on top of it. But October 13th, 2001, we are in the American League Division Series in Oakland against the Yankees. And... this is the flip. This is the flip.
Yep.
You can't. Terrence Long hits a pitch off of Mike Mussina down the right field line, fielded by Shane Spencer. He throws wildly over both cutoff men, right? He's like, no! And he throws it all the way to home. It's ridiculous. Here comes Derek Jeter out of nowhere, running toward home plate, crossing the first baseline, snags the ball, and. In this like really absurd backup position,
like he's—I mean, we're talking—you're talking like 100 feet out of position for that.
At least 100, yeah. Maybe 115 feet, and he's in—he's like the fourth guy in this chain now, and he's not supposed to be there. There's four; he's the fifth guy, but he becomes the fourth position. Anyway, he runs, and then as he's stumbling. Over the first baseline and into foul territory, he shovels the ball behind him to Jorge Posada at the plate to make the tag. And that kept the game at a 1-0. Because what's-his-name was supposed to have scored, Jeremy Giambi,
yeah.
Was supposed to have scored, and he didn't. And they went on to... Now, the Yankees were down 2-0 after giving up both of those games in the Bronx.
Yeah, that was an elimination game.
It was. Yankees. This was the rubber game, the ALDS. So they had to win this game. Here comes Derek Jeter sprinting 100 plus feet or whatever.
Yeah,
it was nuts. And the funny thing is to hear Derek Jeter talk about it, it's all of this like, ah, that's where I was supposed to be. It's like, shut up. That's not where you were supposed to be. I'm just doing my
job.
That
is not how that play was drawn up.
We all know you're just doing your job.
That is not how you drew that up.
No. Everybody has since drawn it up. And it's ridiculous. It's like you can show and it looks just like spaghetti. It's terrible. Anyway, I think as far as defensive performances go, not only is there a highlight play that is unbeatable, it's never been the same. Nobody's ever done it since. Nobody's ever done it before. I think the highlight itself is terrific. But on top of that, the game was a defensive lockdown the whole time anyway. So that would be my number two.
All right, very good. I like that. That's a really good one. That's a great one, actually. So I'm going to go from slugfest to clutch hitting. Okay?
Okay.
I want to demonstrate clutch hitting. So let's go to 1995, Brig.
Okay.
The ALDS, Game 5, Yankees at Mariners in Seattle, the Kingdom.
Why, Brad? So,
and this is another thing, too, is I'll be honest, there is a trend. There are a couple of Mariners games in here that I'm going to talk about. And and that's one thing I'll explain, too, that we all have our team. We all have our laundry, as Jerry Seinfeld puts it. We all have our laundry that we cheer for.
Right.
This happens to be mine, so I'm a little bit biased as far as these being the best games to watch. So I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you this team. So, you know, I'd explain that along the way. But anyways, clutch hitting.
I agree with you.
1995 ALDS, Game 5, Yankees at Mariners. You've got the bottom of the 11th inning. Mariners are down by a score of 5-4 with Joey Cora on second base, Ken Griffey Jr. on first, Edgar Martinez at the plate. Edgar hits a ball down the left field corner down the left field line into the corner. Joey Cora scores easily. Griffey comes wheeling all the way around and scores as the throw is just a little bit late. And that is a demonstration of some of the finest clutch hitting that you will ever see, in my opinion, in the history of baseball. Because you're not going to get that from many, many other guys other than Edgar Martinez. Because he put that ball exactly where it needed to be for Griffey to score from first base and end the game. And advance.
In extras.
And eliminate the Yankees. In extra innings.
At home.
Yes. And save baseball in Seattle to boot.
And secure Griffey's legend.
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
across Major League Baseball and especially in the city of Seattle. Because there's a mural at T-Mobile Field or T-Mobile Park with Griffey sliding into home. I have my picture taken in front of it because it's outstanding. Mm. And it'll go down in Mariners history as until the Mariners win the World Series, that's the greatest play the Mariners have ever made. And maybe even continue on into that. I don't know. But anyways, so that is clutch hitting. That's my second game.
I'm going to level with you.
What's that?
That was the sixth game on my list.
Oh, no way.
No way. I think that I'm serious. We almost overlapped because for me, even though I'm a Yankees fan, even though it's my dark spot, and you just have to poke at it. I know.
I do.
It's fine.
I do.
You
just do. A little bit every time.
But I do think it is one of the most important moments in baseball, in recent baseball history. Like in our generation of baseball, it is, for every reason you've said and all the reasons that I supported you, it is one of the most important moments in all of modern baseball history.
I'm glad you agree with me on that.
It's 100%
huge. It does stink that it has to be your Yankees, because I get it. Brig, I totally get it. That Russell Wilson interception on the goal line against the Patriots, people touch that dark spot almost daily when I listen to sports talk, and I hate it. It makes me very upset.
But
so
you can't
I get it.
The hustle. You can't.
Yep.
Because for me, I would show an alien that because of Griffey's cojones. You know?
Yeah.
Be like, how in the world, who does that and gets away with it?
And especially a guy who the league knew he was quick but not fast.
Yeah, right. You know? No.
Because he has purposely kept that in his back pocket for 6 to 7 years at this point.
Bro, I do, in spite of all the pain, and I have to admit on both sides, but I legitimately think it's one of the best plays ever. I love it.
Just I agree. I mean, for me, it's going to go down, honestly, in my lifetime as the greatest play I've ever seen forever.
No, I don't
because of what it meant, who it was, and having seen it live like I did in the moment.
Yeah,
that's going to be the greatest play I've ever seen in my life. Unless something happens when the Mariners go to the playoffs again, whenever that happens to be.
Right. Well, and I have similar memories. Okay. All right. Moving on. Let me do one more.
Okay.
So I'll go back in history again because I think it's important. April 8th, 1974, and for any of you that paid attention to the show at all, you know I love this game, right? Hank Aaron hits number 715. I don't think you can tell the story of baseball without this moment, and it's all the intangibles, it's all the subtext, it's all the extra cultural stuff that go with it. Here we have my first pick was in 1947. When Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. And then here we go, 30 years later, we got a guy a black man in the Deep South, breaking the home run record that had held for years, decades, and he's getting a standing ovation in Atlanta. No. Okay, I know I rail on this all the time. It's one of my favorite moments in all of baseball history, though.
Mm-hmm.
He does it anyway.
Well, now, and you know, real quick, like you talk about breaking the home run record. It wasn't just the home run record that had been held for, you know, however many 30, 40, 50 years, whatever. It's that record was held by Babe Ruth,
who
is to this day considered, I mean, the only thing I can think of is like not even the king of baseball, but like the Caesar, the emperor, like he is, or like the god of baseball.
Baseball's
to this
crown
day.
Prince, for sure.
Yeah, yes. and at that time, to have Hank Aaron break that record was a really, really big deal.
Yeah.
The fact that he did it and just, I agree with you. It's a big moment, big time.
So, a little bit of context. In an away game, the previous away game, I think it was in Cincinnati, he hit 714.
Mm-hmm.
And he tied it, but it was an away game. And it was the previous game or two games before, because I think he went 0-for-3. In between, something like that. I can't remember my history all that well right now, but he gets it. It ends up being a home game in Atlanta, which I think is the best.
Yeah.
Right. All same with Griffey in Seattle. It's in the Kingdom. It's the best. But he walked in his first at bat in the second inning, and then he gets another opportunity in the fourth, and it's on a 1-0 pitch, and he cranks it. Not just cranks it, but this is left center field. In Fulton County Stadium in Atlanta. I mean, come on, dude. And it tied the game. This is the best part, is it tied the game. They went on to win. Everybody wins. Yeah. Ugh.
Except
just
for
great.
The losing
so
team.
It's not just history. It's great baseball all at the same time.
It was.
Love
great
it.
Baseball. Excellent.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a break, and then I'll do my third one. That way we can even it out with
3-3. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got more Aliens in the Outfield.
Welcome back, baseball family. We got about 5 more games we want to share with you and these aliens from outer space that the Pentagon is going to tell us about. We're really excited to bring you more of our favorite games in history. But before we do that, baseball family, we want to know what you think some of the most important games in baseball history are. If an alien came down and wanted to understand baseball, what 5 games would you show them? You can join us in the group and tell us. You can put it in the comments in the doobly-doo in YouTube or wherever you podcast. And Brad is going to give us his number 3 choice right now.
So my number 3, I wanted to go from clutch hitting to clutch defense. So real quick, disclaimer, I did not tell Brig what games I chose, and he did not tell me what games he chose.
Correct.
When we put this list together, and I have, back in 2001, ALDS Game 3.
No way!
The Yankees at the A's. I do.
How
the
did
flip.
We overlap?
That is my pick for clutch defense, because then these aliens can see the importance of playing strong defense late in the game. Because, I mean, this was the bottom of the seventh inning. Then Mariano Rivera comes in here and gets a 6-out save to save the Yankees season.
Yes.
That's a huge deal. That is
a
huge deal.
A 6-out save. I know. I didn't want to say all the details. I took too long as it was. This is great. I'm so happy.
But, yeah, because, I mean, they go from having a 1-0 lead going into the eighth inning to having – I mean, at the very least, you've got Terrence Long on second base with a tie game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If that goes well at the plate. I mean, if that ball goes to the backstop, Terrence Long standing on third base with 2 outs and tie game.
At the worst, yeah, right.
Yeah, so that play was a really big deal. That was clutch defense. Derek Jeter, like he said, in the right play, you know, where he's supposed to be, you know, right place, right time, whatever.
Yeah,
but
right.
It doesn't get any more clutch than that defensively, and that's why I had to include that in my 5 games to show these aliens, because
bro,
their heads might explode.
My head's exploding right now. What are you talking about? Forget about their heads.
Of course we overlap. There's always an overlap, and it's
crazy.
It's so funny.
It's crazy. And you know, I thought it would be Jackie Robinson.
And that's see, funny. I
don't tell me.
Thought,
don't tell me. Don't tell me. What else? Well, whatever else is coming, I don't want to know.
I'm not going to tell you what's next, but I honestly thought this was going to be the one time we didn't have a single overlap.
This is nuts, man. Just I because, can't believe it.
So Brig was texting me earlier. He was saying that he was really struggling with this. And I was like, oh, man, I've been thinking about this for several days. I've got my things all set up, you know. And this is actually one that I picked today because I had this category that I wanted to fulfill, but I couldn't think of what to put there. And so I found this one. I decided to put this one in actually this afternoon. And then Brig was telling me that he was getting his together today and everything. But, yeah, this was not one that we collaborated on, and we happened to overlap on it.
No,
anyway.
We never do.
Yeah, we never do collaborate. That's true.
No. When we do lists, we don't talk about it. This is so funny, dude. That's why if you see the Dodgers Mount Rushmore, like, yeah. I almost kill Brad.
Legitimately.
He almost dies because we happen to be in the same room.
Yeah.
And we get one of the same picks, and he almost dies. It's crazy. It was like, okay, anyway.
At the very least, passed out. At the very least, I almost passed out.
For real. Yeah, okay. I was maybe right. That was hyperbole. I don't know.
Yeah, epitome of hyperbole. Anyway, go ahead, Brig, with your next one. You got two left. Number four.
Okay, all right. We're going back in time again. I don't know if you know.
Could you imagine, Brig, if these aliens had the technology to take us back to travel through time and space to these games so we could actually watch them in person?
Dude. Oh, man. I told you not to bring that up. I can't handle it. It's a family-friendly show.
It would
be the best. How about that? It would be the best. The end. So much to say.
All right. Sorry.
So I'm going 1999. So I was alive this time. Okay. That's pretty cool. I was alive in 2001, too, by the way. But in 1999, it was a Sunday, a day game, July 18th, 1999, in the Bronx. Again, like Brad said, I mean, you got to go with a little homerism, never hurt anybody mm-hmm. here, but
yeah.
David Cohn pitches a perfecto. And I'll tell you what, if you have not read the book Full Count by David Cohn, you have got to read that book. Like, not only is it a terrific game, so I needed something that represented perfect pitching, right? Just epic right. pitching. And I thought, oh, man, this is perfect. Literally perfect. But I've read his book, and his book blew my mind. You want to hear like a treatise on pitching and history and personalities and all this great, oh, man, it's called Full Count by David Cohn. Go get it, especially if you're on Audible. He reads it himself. It's magnificent. Okay.
Good one.
So right. Sunday the 18th, 1999. There have been 23 perfect games in the history of Major League Baseball. Two of them were before 1908, and the 21 have come since then. Now, they even had a 33-minute rain delay, so he was all hot trot and getting ready to take the mound, and nothing, and then more nothing, and then a bunch of nothing. So, and it was a day game on a Sunday in New York in July, so this rain thing is weird, and they're playing Montreal Expos. And despite a 33-minute rain delay, David Cohn goes out and pitches a perfect game. Now, the Yankees held run support, 6-0 is when the game ended. But here's what kills me. This is the best part for me. He sits in the number 2 slot for a perfect game, lowest pitch count thrown. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but it makes sense now that you mention it because he was kind of a Maddox-esque pitcher.
He was. Guess how many pitches he threw. Guess how many. He got all 27 outs. Guess how many pitches he threw to do it.
I'm going to say 87. 87, yeah. Bob.
88.
Oh,
he threw 88. That's pretty good, dude. That puts him at number 2. The next closest was in 1908. And I forget how many that dude threw. Let me look really quick. I think that dude threw 74. Yeah, 74. Yeah. Addie Ross, Cleveland, he threw 74 in 1908. So, and I'm sorry, the era we're discussing started in 1903, not 1908. So I apologize for that, the World Series era. But anyway, that doesn't matter. Still only 23 ever.
Yeah.
David Cohn, 1999. That's me.
Very good. I like it. I like it a lot.
Thanks,
sir. That's a great one. So I want to go, and actually, you know, I kind of wanted to use my last one with the clutch pitching at the end of the game, with you know, yeah, with the defense, to transition into dominant pitching performance. So I want to show off a dominant pitching performance. So we're going to go to May the 6th, 1998, when Kerry Wood strikes out 20.
Oh, Kerry Wood. Oh, dude.
So I mean, there have been other games since then where guys have struck out 20, but I feel like this is the epitome of somebody of just flat out dominant pitching. The pitches are just unhittable, and it was a one hitter, right?
Yeah.
And that's how close he came to a perfect game that day, which, you know, you would think that you would expect him to throw a perfect game, striking out, or at least get a no hitter, come close to it, you know, yeah, striking out 20. Cause
yeah,
if you're just mowing guys down, you're a buzzsaw, and there's a good chance nobody's going to get a hit off you that day. Final score of the game was 2-0. Sorry, this was the Houston Astros back when they were in the National League at the Chicago Cubs. So, yeah, this was just – anytime I think of a dominant pitching performance, I think of Kerry Wood striking out 20. And this was a game I remember watching this one, it was weird because I'm pretty sure that was like the middle of the week in May, so I should have been in school. But for some reason, I don't think I was.
TBS, bro.
WGN. Yeah, no, yeah. Like, I know it was on WGN, but why wasn't I in school? I remember I wasn't in school, but I can't remember why I wasn't, you know, because I don't know. Anyway, but no, outstanding performance by Kerry Wood, and that is my next game that I would show just for straight up dominant pitching start to finish.
Dude, that's awesome. That's a great pick.
Well, thank you. What do you have for your last one?
Well, Denise and Kyle and all them, they're really happy right now. Let me just make that clear. And in order to continue the trend, I got to go to November 2, 2016.
I knew you were going to go to that one next.
Best baseball game I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah.
Ever. Ever. I've never seen a more entertaining baseball game, a more tense baseball game, a more historically significant baseball game, a more fun baseball game in my entire life. Guys, it's the best baseball game I've ever seen in my whole life. Don't just watch the highlights. If you missed it somehow, I'm so sorry. Just go back and watch it. November 2, 2016, Game 7, World Series in Cleveland against the Chicago Cubs. It's been 108 years. 108 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a rain delay.
And the baseball, and in the middle of this laughed.
Rain delay, what?
And the baseball gods laughed.
They laughed. That's exactly right. They laughed. No, so, and then my favorite part of the whole thing was when they substitute David Ross in off the bench, cold as ice, and he comes in and he rips a homer. And you're like, oh, what? He's 39. And he came in super cold. Homers. Not just any homer. I mean, he crushed this thing. Dude, it's the best game I ever saw in my whole life. Cubs win 8-7. Flip out. My daughter was born not, I don't know, 30 days earlier.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Exactly.
I'd say within 30 29, days.
It was 29 days earlier.
Okay, yeah. I knew it was close.
She's lying there on the couch. We're screaming. She slept right through it. And by the way, she's still just as much a trooper as she was then.
That's great. That's awesome.
I kid you not, man. That is the best baseball game I've ever seen in my whole life.
And, you know, I don't think I've watched it since. Like, I don't think I've had a chance to see it because that night I was actually covering a college basketball game.
Yeah, you were.
And so I remember driving home from the game and we're like, oh, let's check the score. And it was in a rain delay. I got home just in time, I want to say, to catch, like, literally the last out where Chris Bryant slips as he throws, you know?
Yeah.
And it's But,
yeah.
Yeah, I gotta watch that one. I got tons of time to watch stuff during the day. So
dude, you should just sit down, get Wilson, sit him down, and have him watch this one game. Just this one game. Because my goodness.
You know, he might just do it. He's been better about watching baseball with me lately, which has made me actually very happy.
Yeah.
So
Well, there's a rain delay. So even if he wants to break it up, it's fine.
Yeah, it's true. And yeah, he's getting the attention span. And I think part of it is he's actually like understanding it because he'll see the pitch and he'll be like, Dad, was that a ball? Like, it was. Good job. Was that a strike? Even though he didn't swing? It sure was. Good job.
Man, I love that.
So, yeah. Proud dad moments, let me tell you. But yeah, maybe we'll watch that one this weekend or something. I don't know. Anyway.
All right. Yeah.
That's a solid choice, though, Brick. That's a really good one. Absolutely. Thank you. Such historical significance. Very good. All right. I, too, have a perfect game. Not David Cone's, but King Felix's perfect game. We're going to go back to August 15th, 2012, which I believe is the last perfect game that was thrown. There has not been one since then. I mean, there's been a whole slew of no-hitters, but no perfect game since then. And this was the Tampa Bay Rays at the Seattle Mariners. This was not a game I got to watch live because at the time I was not living somewhere where I get to watch much of baseball live, but I have since watched it because I had to. Just peak Felix right there, right? 2012. Oh, yeah. And of course the Mariners win 1-0. He strikes out 12 because that is absolutely 100% what Felix had to do. He had to keep the opponent to one or no runs every single game for the Mariners to win because that team was just anemic offensively.
That's right.
And that was just, and you know what's crazy is I was looking at this in on Baseball Reference just to kind of just make sure, you know, I was getting stats and stuff, right? And 14 days before this, he held the Yankees to a single hit.
In 2012?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just like 2 weeks before, he almost no-hit the Yankees. And if that hit had not gone through, if that had been an out, it would have been a perfect game. So he had a chance for two perfect games in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, one hit away from that.
Holy cow.
Absolutely insane. Like, that's, oh, I did not that's see that how coming. Good he was that year, and that's why he won the Cy Young. Such a bad team. Because he was just mowing everybody down. He was unhittable. He's untouchable. And, I mean, that's why he got the nickname King Felix. Because you couldn't hit him. Just absolutely could not. And, you know, since then we've seen a major, massive fall from the throne. In fact, he has not pitched since 2019. He's had two minor league contracts since then, but has not pitched in a big league game since
then. He's even been called up and still hasn't pitched.
No, he hasn't.
Didn't Atlanta call him up?
No, they didn't. He didn't make it to opening day. No, I can't remember if they cut him or he opted out.
Did he get injured or something last season?
I think he opted out.
Oh, for COVID. That's what it was.
And then this year he signed with the Orioles and they cut him before the season started. He didn't make it out of camp.
Wow. So,
yeah, to see that high. And you know, this is the thing too, is that guys will throw a perfect game, guys will throw a no-hitter, and it just happens to be one day where they're on, because you don't have to be a super dominant pitcher to have one day of complete domination, right?
That's right.
But you've got David Cone, Felix Hernandez, just to name two guys who've thrown perfect games, who had excellent careers, but then to see Felix Hernandez where he is now, man, or where his career, I guess, essentially ended, is really disappointing. But
yeah.
Anyway, those are five games, like we talked about, that we would show space aliens should they come down to Earth, and should the Pentagon make them available to us to watch baseball games with. Who knows? Maybe they're in Area 51 watching baseball right now, and they already know all That's about the possible. Sport. I don't know.
Well, I wonder. We should get them on the show and figure out what they think.
We should.
The best games are so far.
Their five favorite games that they've watched. Because I'm sure they spent plenty of time watching games.
Well, yeah. What else are they going to do?
Exactly. Exactly right.
Catch new episodes of the Baseball Together podcast every Tuesday.